Welcome to the third installment of the Orange and Blueprint podcast. I'm your host, Anthony, Mr. New York Bias. I'm back again to talk about these New York Knicks. Thank you for coming back. Appreciate all the listeners. Hopefully it's, a good time. I have a good time doing it. I hope you have a good time listening to it. We're just going to go ahead and get into it because this is what I'm here for. This is what you're here for. And a lot of good stuff to talk about with these Knicks. We're going to recap the summer league. It's over. It's finished. Fell a little short of winning the championship, but, things happen. It's summer league, so none of the stats matter, so who cares? I care. What am I talking about? But, going to recap summer league, talk about all the different flashes and glimpses of what we hope to see going forward, especially from a lot of these young guys. And then after that, I want to touch on some rumors and articles. There's always rumors floating around this franchise, and I want to touch on that, kind of give my thoughts on everything that is out there on the internet regarding Knicks, the Knicks, I should say, and then kind of wrap up with some other little news and notes that I came across that are pretty positive, or at least I think so. I always want to try to end on a positive note as much as I can, and in the Zen garden here. So let's start off with Summer League. It's over. Summer Knicks played four games against the and I could be wrong. I know it was. We had one against Philly, one against San Antonio. I think it was the Lakers and maybe Milwaukee. I believe it was Milwaukee, but I'm not 100% sure. In this kind of format, you're not going to get a lot of clean basketball. I think anyone who's watched Summer League knows that. But it's fun. And it's just something where you can see, like I said, glimpses, flashes, anything, where you can just try and find out what you have out of these young guys, first and second year players, undrafted guys. So, you have to temper your expectations on the quality of basketball and look and see for what you can see as far as skill-wise from these players. And the Knicks, they had a lot of good flashes. I'm very happy with everything that we had, especially from, obviously, our top guy, hopefully future star, Kristaps Porzingis. I think I'm going on the record. I'm changing it. My favorite nickname for him now is Crispy. I love it. Hopefully, young Crispy can just take over the league. I'm setting the floor high for him. Just go ahead and go out there and start out being the greatest player of all time. I would appreciate it. It would make my life a lot easier. And if he could do that, that'd be highly appreciated. So we've got Crispy, who was doing a lot of good stuff. Jaren Grant, again, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm pretty high on him. Liked what I saw out of Anthony Early for the most part. Langston Galloway, he did good. And, all that stuff. So, as far as those four, I liked what I saw out of Crispy, his ability to move around. I think he was kind of miscast as a center in this particular kind of situation. And without the experience at this point, and definitely not the size, but the experience, he's not ready to play center now, but he showed that he is exceptionally tall and he's got verticality down. I think that whole rule is BS, but he's got it down. So, if that's part of the rule, then so be it. whatever. He's got his verticality down. It's hard to shoot over him when he's got his hands up. He's 7'3" in sneakers. I think he's got like a, I can't quite remember his exact wingspan, but you can see that even at his very slight frame now, he can really adjust shots and he moves very well laterally. He's going to struggle definitely with some of the speedier guards if he could switch on them, but with his length, he's going to be able to adjust shots. Still going to struggle, obviously, defensively with size. Even with other rookie players, I believe in the Lakers game, I saw D'Angelo Russell go straight into his chest, and I thought he was going to fall on the ground before the layup. It was bad, but you know, he's got to get used to that. And as he puts on more weight, he'll be able to better deal with that kind of contact, taking it as well as giving it. So, you know, that's going to be good for him. He did very well against my boy, who I wish would be traded to a better franchise. But he did very well adjusting to dealing with the size and skill and strength of Jahlil Okafor. When they played the Sixers, he is completely outmatched physically at this point. But what he did was, and I appreciate and I actually find it very, very positive, he actually decided that he was going to switch from guarding him between him and the basket to fronting him in the second half of that particular game and let him tell it. Let the team tell it. That was his idea. Derek Fisher said, hey, I'm going to let players, I guess his mantra is to let players really work out some things for themselves, especially at the summer league level, that can possibly do some things to inspire confidence with these, especially with the younger guys, in their abilities to work through whatever problems they're having on the court. That sounds a little bit like, it sounds a little bit like what I've always thought about what Phil Jackson would do. He would just kind of, or what he's said to do, which is let players run out and figure things out, not necessarily call a timeout and tell them what to do, allow them to figure it out and work on and go for what they've worked on in practice and what the skills they've built on. And that's going to be something that this team's going to have to do, especially with these young players as they develop and hopefully can be positive contributors this year, but more importantly, become eventual cornerstones, especially Kristaps. If he can do that now, learn those skills now, learn how to deal with a different challenge on a night-to-night basis, that's going to be huge for him going forward. So yeah, a lot of positive stuff out of his summer league. I would like to see him more at the four position or see what he can do when he's playing with an actual center. I think when he's able to kind of go against more more power forwards and play the power forward role, he'll be able to do a lot more on offense. His pick and pop game is nice. He can shoot from three. He can put the ball on the floor. He had an excellent move where he was in the corner putting up a three or fake the three, put the ball down, took two dribbles, kind of float in the air. He got some contact and hit a nice bank shot off on the move. And I believe he got fouled on that too. And he's a good free throw shooter. He can shoot from pretty much everywhere. He didn't shoot from three as much as one would expect in summer league, but I think that was a function of him not being as aggressive because there are more experienced players on the team. And, you know, he'll have to kind of work through that, but on the flip side, he could be too aggressive and shoot every shot. And then I would be saying, oh, he needs to learn how to pick a spot to let her. So more or less, he's got to learn how to pick a spot. But for a guy to show everything except for the one thing that he was supposed to be able to do, which is shoot, he showed that he can shoot. He's got good form. He's ready to pull up from basically anywhere. And he shows that he is not afraid of contact. And with his length, he can take a lot of contact and still get to the basket and you know, do that. He showed he's athletic, he's fluid. I can't be mad at him for anything he's done at this point. Hopefully he can put on, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 pounds before the season starts just to get something going. He's obviously is going to struggle with strength, but I mean, if Kevin Durant can live in the NBA with his dimensions, Crispy's going to be fine as long as he kind of, you know, figures out how to play, deal with the physical contact, things of that nature. His draft mate, Jaren Grant, mark it down. That guy's the point guard of the New York Knicks of the future. Maybe at the future starting opening night, because that guy, he drew some comparisons to Drew Holiday, and I can kind of see it in their games. It's partially probably because they're built the same and same skin tone, but you know, they've got a lot of similarities. I think as far as how they can play, I think that Jerian Grant has a better court vision, and that's going to be huge. He showed that he can really just make his passes from anywhere in his dribble, which is a very awesome kind of skill for a point guard to have. He hit Klay Anthony early on a drive one time, and you know, set him up for an easy layup with contact, drew the foul as memory serves. And so, you know, those kind of things, those flashes, those are the things you want to see in summer league. And he showed that he can do it, and he can manage a team. A key thing for him, and for most rookies that you see them kind of screw up a lot, is not knowing the status of the shot clock. He actually controlled that, not controlled it, but you know, he was always aware of the shot clock. So those kind of things, that kind of court awareness, the court vision, that's what you want to see out of a guy, especially your point guard. You need that in your point guard. If he can do that at this stage, he can grow and become, you know, like I said, like I really think we've got the one and the four, five, however you want to put it, of the future lockdown. I really do believe that. But those two, Crispy and Grant, are going to be a dynamic duo going forward into the post-Carmelo Anthony era. Mentioned Klay Anthony earlier, and he had shown a lot more aggression, whereas Porzingis was not as aggressive as you might want, as I personally wanted him to be, to show what he can do, especially from beyond three. Early was out there and he attacked the basket. He shot his open shots. He was in rhythm. Defensively, he was lackluster, but he showed some more confidence in attacking the basket that he didn't show last year. This is going to be a big year for him. He is the first draft pick of the Zen Garden era, so he's going to have to really pick it up now, especially with the expulsion of the three guards above him. I think he serves best at a two guard, but his problem is, and has always been, continues to be, that his handle is suspect. He can't, he's got the same kind of issue with the handle that I believe that Tim Hardaway Jr. has, Amon Shumpert has, J.R. Smith does not have that issue, but hopefully he can really kind of just get that up to average. I think he has a below average handle, but he's got the size and athleticism to be a good rotational player on an NBA team. Hopefully he kind of continues to grow as a player, at least in that technical area. He also doesn't shoot from three that well. He'll need to be able to make open threes. That's going to be an issue for him if he really wants to get minutes, consistent minutes. But hopefully he can do that. He's shown, again, showed flashes of his athleticism and that he can, you know, be a positive contributor to a team. He's going to have to improve on defense. I mean, if he's getting cooked out there with summer league, training camp invite guys, he is going to have a problem once the real deal starts. So he's going to have to be a little more focused on that. But, I mean, he's not mastered, but he's done a good job of moving without the ball. And there was a very nice triangle set that him and I believe it was Porzingis, I think the two of them kind of hooked up for a nice kind of backdoor play, get him some easy run to the basket, finish with contact, and make the free throws. Those are the kind of things he's going to have to be able to do to kind of augment the fact that he's not going to be able to get his own shot, but he still needs to be able to score, so he cannot be putting the rest of the team in a 4-on-5 situation. If he can do that consistently, pick it up on the defensive end, this guy is going to be a good guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he was a second round pick. I think he had a first round grade, but you know, things happen. He was an older freshman, so he may not have that much more potential, but he does have the ability to get better, I believe, and I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of the potential to get better, Langston Galloway, he was a guy who, like Early, saw a lot of minutes last year when, you know, the tank was rolling strong. Galloway started, I believe, like 40-some games. I know he got second team all-rookie, which isn't saying a lot, but it's something. And he did that, and he showed a lot of poise in games. If you ever look at him on social media, he always looks like he's the old man spirit of the group he's in. There was a lot of pictures, and for whatever it's worth, I'm not a Bill Simmons, Mr. Body Language person, but I mean, for what it's worth, he looked like to be the guy who is very well thought out, well, I don't know, well put together amongst the guys he was hanging out with. Old soul, maybe, but you know, that's part of what Phil has built with this team. A lot of guys who are experienced players know how to play, quote unquote, the right way and carry themselves that way. You know, I see a lot of Derek Fisher in Langston Galloway. What I don't see is a for sure player who can play next to Jaren Grant. I'm not sure how they meld together. Galloway may not. He may not be as good of a player as I thought off the ball. Last year, he had the ball a lot. And what looked like maybe a rookie wall when he kind of numbers maybe fell off a little bit toward the end of the season last year, after the second half of the season started, may have been the fact that he stopped playing directly on ball. He's a good player, smart player. Excuse me. But I'm not sure how he plays well off the ball. So maybe there's a little bit of a problem there. Maybe he needs to run at one off the bench. But I'm not sure if there are minutes there for him with Grant and Calderon on the roster as well. So we'll see how that goes. He's a good player. He just have to see kind of how he can fit in with the team and what he can do. He brings on defensive end. He's smart and he plays smart. So you can never have too much intelligence on a team. And if, again, I always bring up there have been three episodes of this pod, and every episode I bring up the Spurs. If the Spurs can fill their team with maybe not the most athletic but smart guys and win 50 games a year, the Knicks can take all the smart guys they can. So, yeah, Langston Galloway has a place on this team, and he's got a decent contract. So, yeah, I'm just hoping that he can kind of meld better with the rest of the roster and just kind of pick it up offensively. He might be a very prototypical, needs good players around him to be effective. That could just be what he is. Maybe that's what we were seeing. Time will tell on that. So, but yeah, I'm still really, really happy with how he performed last year, kind of the way he carried himself. Hopefully that can pick back up when the season starts and, you know, get with better players, better performances, go from there. There's also another guy I wanted to kind of bring up, Maurice Indoor. He is a relative unknown, at least unknown to me, but he came from Ohio University, I believe it was Ohio University, by way of Japan or something crazy like that. But the guy is a 6'9 power forward. He's kind of slight, but he plays high energy. High energy, he's got a long wingspan. He's built very much like right now basketball player. I've got he's 6'9", he's got a 7'4 wingspan, and he's not very big. He is another guy who can get pushed around, but I'm not sure he'll ever actually put on any more weight. But with that wingspan, his athleticism, he can really be effective offensively as well as defensively. But the only drawback is that after playing so well in the summer league, he got scooped up by the Dallas Mavericks, and that's the very first move this season that I really did not enjoy, that I wasn't positive about, because, I mean, this guy, for the contract he got, I really wish we could have kept him as opposed to signing Derek Williams. I don't know if Derek Williams is going to turn his career around, but, I mean, Indoor just played so well, so prepared to play in the offense they were running. I mean, they weren't running as much triangle or anything, but you know, they were running a system that he actually took advantage of, looked to be comfortable, hit shots, played defense, hustled for after loose balls, all that stuff that you want to see out of a guy who's trying to make a roster. And he earned it. He earned a spot on somebody's roster. I wish it was New York, but he's going to go to Dallas. I believe they gave him more guaranteed money, so can't be mad at that. You know, he went to Dallas and said, so please the monies, and he got that. And unfortunately, we are going to roll out with Derek Williams and Lance Thomas and not Maurice Indoor. But, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Maybe there might be a way to get him back later if he ever hits the D-League, but we'll kind of cross that bridge as it comes. He would be a basically a backup guy, so I'm not too upset about it, but I, you know, hate to see the potential diamond in the rough type player leave your grasp and go somewhere else and then hopefully not watch him explode. Because like I said, he at 6'9", 7-foot wingspan, 7'4", I believe. Yeah, 7'4 wingspan. He is right. He is very much a right now type of guy. I'm not sure if he can play the 3 or the 4. He's got some size issues, but with the length, his athleticism, the way he can shoot from 3 and from mid-range equally as well, yeah, he's right now. He's very right now basketball. So more power to him. I wish him all the best except for against the New York Knicks. And, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm going to move on here to just talk about some of the different stories I've come across since Summer League ended, wrapped that up. There are also a lot of different things coming out now that I like to just give my 2 cents on. The first one is that there's been a series of articles written by Charlie Rosen, I believe, in there, basically Phil Jackson stories. The latest one is where Phil Jackson kind of discusses back in January the problems or the issues going around what was supposed to be an asset, which is at the time our 3 shooting guards, Shumpert, J.R. Smith, and Tim Hardaway Jr. Going into the season, it was like, oh man, how are they going to find minutes for all these guys? You don't really want them playing the point guard. They can't. All of them can maybe masquerade as small forwards and maybe a super small lineup, all 3 of them. But how's it going to work out? Turns out it didn't matter because they all sucked this year. All of them. I talked before about how happy I was to see Tim Hardaway shipped to Atlanta. Forward Grant, that was a great move. We all saw the move in season that officially signified we're throwing the flag on the season, sending Shump and J.R. Smith to Cleveland. And it was a matter of, at the time, it was, oh, what are the Knicks doing? How did they not get a first-round pick for these guys? And turns out it's because J.R. Smith is a nutcase. And Amon Shumpert, as much as that's my dude, he's not that great of a basketball player. He's oddly ineffective finishing around the rim. He doesn't have a consistent shot. Much like Clay Anthony Early, his handle is kind of suspect, but he brings it on defense. And even that might be a little overstated because he was, you know, he was playing in New York under the bright lights. Maybe that's defense a little overstated, but he's a good player to have on a good team. And, you know, so the move is what it is. And at the time, like I said, the Knicks were getting kind of roasted about the move. And when you fast forward to now, and especially in relation to J.R. Smith, this guy he opted out of his deal, said that he would not have opted out in New York. So he would have cost us money that can be used elsewhere to help build this strong roster we have. And now he can't get a deal anywhere else. You would think that a guy who was recently voted Sixth Man of the Year, recently played a major role on a championship contending team, would be able to get a deal. No. No one wants him because he's a nutcase and he's not likely to get any better on the court or off of it. And he's got a playoff issue where his numbers, his performance has sucked in the playoffs. And that pumpkin, or not pumpkin, what's the thing? That chariot turned back into a pumpkin real quick. And I'm, for one, happy about it because, you know, Knicks fans watch this guy implode. And as soon as he leaves leaves Manhattan, arrives on the Lake Erie shores, he's supposed to be the greatest thing ever. He's supposed to be the greatest piece. And I even fell for it myself. I wrote a piece where he was, it was on the site. Another man's trash is another man's treasure. And that's what they were for a while. But, you know, things happen. And it turned out that J.R. Smith is not capable of being a number two player. And, Carmelo Anthony says, hi. I know that. I've been carrying this guy for 10 years. And so, you know, I mean, that kind of is what it is. Maybe that's a little bit of just bitter Knick fan in me. But this is the Orange and Blueprint podcast. And bitter Knick fan is what this is. They talked about in the article trading away J.R. Smith or how they kind of ended up in that situation. And one of the key things I took from it was Phil is definitely involved in building a team around character of guys, and making sure that the chemistry of the team is high. And what he saw out of J.R. was that he maybe does not respect the meetings and late to meetings and kind of just isn't a professional. And so he had to go. But because he's a non-professional, let's just put it that way, you had to put on another positive asset with them, and that was Amon Shumpert. And that's why you didn't get a first-round pick for him. And maybe you could have pressed for it, but I don't see it. Not with the way that his reputation is, not his age, not even with some of his injury history. And they said in the article, they read that Shumpert's personality kind of maybe became a little grating to people. In the words of the article, he's got a very loud and big personality. I don't know him from the stuff I've seen about him on the basketball court and in you know, practices and things of that nature. He does. It appears to be true. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It was a bad fit at this time. You know, I think that's just kind of how Phil looked at it. And he made the best decision. And he also did them a favor, sending them to a team that was at least going to contend for home court in the playoffs. They could have probably sent them somewhere else and gotten the same kind of spare parts back. But they did them a solid, sent them to Cleveland. And then they also talk about how they did other trades. The trade for Pablo Prigioni sent him to a place where he can be on a team that's going to contend for the playoffs, even in the West, when they sent him to Houston. You know, so there's a lot of that kind of information in there. Little inside baseball stuff, which is, it's kind of interesting. It's a little bit stuff I don't really care about. There's some personality stuff there that may or may not should have been aired. But, you know, Phil Jackson does this. This is his MO. And this is how he was a part of building, you know, multiple dynasties. So I want to be multiple mediocre at this point. So maybe we can do that. And if this is part of it, then so be it. He talked in there about how, interestingly, he talked in there about Tim Hardaway Jr. And he said that Tim Hardaway has what it takes to be good. Not that he said that Shumpert didn't. But he said that Tim Hardaway and Derek Fisher's personalities just did not mix. And that he's a good player. Hardaway, that is. Good player. But it's maybe the personality between Fisher and that didn't mix. And that's kind of interesting because neither one of those guys seems too demonstrative or anything of that nature. They seem like very mild-mannered guys. But maybe the too much mild-manneredness in that relationship. So, you know, he sent them off, and Hardaway's going to a team where he can play with an entire team of guys who want to shoot around the perimeter, and maybe he can thrive there. You know, we'll see. I don't think he's that good of a player, but he's streaky. He was down last year. According to his kind of basketball history, he should have a good year this year. So more power to him, except for against the New York Knicks. Enjoy yourself. make a name for yourself, all that, get paid. And but so Phil put out there that he sent these guys, and it was kind of important to him to send guys to places where they could go and win as well as perform better. And so I think that is something that may resonate well with different agents, free agents. Hopefully that becomes part of the Nick, New York Knicks kind of persona. You know, say if it doesn't work, we're going to try and take care of you. And if it does, we'll definitely take care of you. You know, see how that goes. He talked about how nobody wanted Andrea Bargnani because he sucks. And I'm so glad that he's going to play in Brooklyn so he can suck it up there. God, that guy sucks. And yeah, he's terrible. So no one wanted him. And they were in January, no one wanted him. So we had to slog it out with this guy because you couldn't trade him for a ham sandwich and a bunch of hot dog water. Couldn't get anything for him. So write it out. We do need bodies to play basketball for the rest of the season. That was kind of interesting. And you can tell that while Phil might have been on TV talking him up as a good player, he was definitely lying through his teeth. So, I mean, I thought that whole article was interesting. The piece about, there was a little piece here, and I'll kind of run a little faster through this, where it was LaMarcus Aldridge came out on the Russillo show on ESPN. Shout out to them, or him now. Russillo, and he says basically that the Knicks wanted him to play center. He did not want to play center, so they mutually agreed that there was no need to have a meeting. Let some chump at, I shouldn't call him a chump. Let some guy at Deadspin tell it, the Knicks are the dumbest franchise in the world for asking this guy to play center. Well, if you look at his numbers in Portland, when he played center, those five-man lineups were some of the best lineups in sports. And you can't ask him to do that all the time if he just doesn't want to, knowing it going in. He doesn't want to do that, then there's no point in bringing him there. There's no point in wasting everyone's time or, you know, having all of that kind of fake attention. You know, there's no real reason for it. These are adults. They have other things they could be doing. And so, yeah, they didn't meet. And it was okay. And it was a smart decision. The Knicks are making smart decisions. I mean, was he really even going to sign with New York? He signed with the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah. No one would do that. Okay, so at least not now anyway, in the future maybe. But yeah, so that was a whole thing online. I'll have a link to it later down below. It was just kind of frustrating because it didn't make any sense for him to meet, and now the Knicks were getting all the flack for it. But it makes more sense to play him at the center with Carmelo and Crispy and everyone else than it does anything else. And plus, the Knicks did better to use more of that money for more players who can play great roles for the team. So, you know, that was frustrating, but, you know, it's par for the course with the media if New York Knicks are involved. It's just rail on them as much as you can, no matter what happens. And I like that more and more the rumors, the narratives are proving to be false and made up because Phil's in town, they plugged up all the leaks, and they got adults running the show. So... and maybe other places, other franchise bases or fan bases are used to that. That's new here, and I'm happy about that. Speaking of things that are becoming false, Crispy went on somewhere. I really can't remember where it was now. But he came out and said that, and it could be a lie, but it could be true. It's probably true, but they said that Carmelo texted him. Carmelo texted him saying, you know, hey, welcome to the team or whatever. And he didn't know who it was. And Melo, being the brand conscious internet ambassador, basketball player, whatever he calls himself, texted him, it's Melo, M-E, the numeral 7-0, just like he sells all of his branded crap. It's patently ridiculous, almost as bad as the hats that he wears, but that makes me believe it to be true, but it definitely slaps in the face of, oh, he was hoodwinked and bamboozled and all this other BS about it. And he even came out and said on his own media controlled, I guess, his only controlled outlet to the people of Instagram that he thought Porzingis was a steal. And so I'm just glad that kind of came out, makes everything before look a little stupid, shows how kind of crap the media surrounding the New York Knicks is all about. And, you know, again, we've got adults running the show, and these kind of things are going to start looking more and more ridiculous as the direction of the team internally and externally are more aligned and focused and actually just moving in a better direction. That's all great. Speaking of Carmelo, wanted to touch on something I saw. And I'm going to have links to most of these articles in the page here. But apparently Carmelo wants to or is going to attend the minicamp for Team USA for 2016. That starts next month, which is a week from now, I believe. So he's going to be doing that. That means he's probably doing pretty well in his recovery from knee surgery. The timeline looked like he was going to be okay for training camp. This makes me feel very positive about that. I'm hoping that he can come in and show that, you know, he's ready to go for the season. And he's going to need to play at a very high level for this team to reach the playoffs. With the roster he has around him, he's going to have to lead. There's going to be a big season for him and the rest of this team. Hopefully it starts here with the mini camp. I hope he's not rushing anything, but I hope he's ready for training camp to really kind of build chemistry with, you know, Lopez and Aflalo, who, I mean, he's played with him before, but all those guys, just because a team needs its leader, and he's the guy. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Also, I think that's kind of interesting that he's going to be there. And to me, that kind of shows that he might be feeling a little bit of heat from some of the young guys there. I saw some clips of Paul George. He's looking like he's back to normal. There's going to be some competition for his roster spot. And I'm not sure if he's got the clout necessarily to say, oh, well, I got this one locked. Or maybe he doesn't feel that way because he's coming off of injury and he's going to be 30 or 31 this season. So maybe there's something to that. I could be making it up. I hope he's very motivated to show that he's still a very high-level player, even though he's kind of been on a drift with these New York Knicks last two seasons. So, yeah. Also, that gives me a great reason to pull up the clip of him obliterating the Nigerian basketball team. I think he might be the king of Nigeria now. I'm not really sure. But he definitely owned them that day. And maybe I'll link to that, too, because, good Lord, Olympic Melo is my fate. He's like a superhero of basketball. I love it. I'm going to wrap this up here. I appreciate you listening. Check out we've got some new stuff here on the site. I want to make sure I plug that. We got a Tale of the Tape album about nothing. That's all I got to say about that. Shout out to everyone at the Nerdpocalypse and all the other podcasts. I'll start shouting them out that I enjoy here. And look forward to, I got something cooking. I'm going to have a new article on the site here soon, as soon as I can figure out how to wrap it all up. Yeah, if you feel like it, want to talk some Knicks, talk about anything, hit me up, AK Houston on Twitter. And then, yeah, Knicks tape. Peace.